Exactly.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Janice Tunnell of Illusions Cosmetics, and you're listening to Blog Talk Radio's Beauty Talk with Illusions Cosmetics for today, Thursday, February 19th. I'd like to welcome back, as always, my sister and business partner, Denise.
Hello.
And tonight we are joined by Ashanta Sheriff, makeup artist to the stars. Hello, Ashanta.
Hi, everybody. Hey, ladies.
Hi. Can you start off tonight, Ashanta, by just telling us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Basically, you know, I've been a makeup artist about 11, going on 12 years about, and I'm based in New York City, but I'm in L.A. as if I live there. And what basically got me interested in makeup was I had a mother who performed and sang, and she was always doing her own makeup, and I was always just fascinated with it, you know, watching her growing up. And so I decided to, you know, get into it. I just never knew it was going to kind of go to this level, which is a blessing, you know, but just sometimes still very surreal.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it sounds like we all started around the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Around 98 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. I was working in Ricky's, which is a lot of us all know Ricky's. It's like a makeup artist haven, hairstylist haven.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of Ricky's.
Beauty junkie haven. Mm-hmm. And I used to just work there part-time in between, you know, trying to have a real career, so to speak. And I was out of college and working for a design firm and, you know, going to graduate school at NYU. It was in my first year, and it was just kind of like, I'm not interested in school anymore. I'm schooled out, and I just want to do something creative and artistic. And that's how makeup kind of just came to me. It was like an aha moment, like, do makeup. And I went from there to MAC and then Henry Bendel doing, like, Laura Mercier and events. And, you know, just one thing led to another, and it just started to take its own life form. And a career was kind of born from that.
Okay, and that's a little different from us because we went to college, completed college, both working in the corporate arena as accountants, me in Maryland, my sister in Georgia. And kind of we had that aha moment sort of around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
My sister started out with skincare and myself in makeup, and then she eventually came over to makeup.
Okay.
But, you know, so that's kind of how it started for us. But we went into the world of film and television.
Mm-hmm.
And you, quite opposite, I guess, somehow you started with the music biz.
I actually, believe it or not, started in fashion.
Actually,
that's what my first start came doing runway shows, you know, working on like Pat McGrath's team and working with Charlie Green, working with Dick Page, working with Vincent Longo, you know, all the greats, Laura Mercier, and being, you know, part of their various teams. Doing all these shows, and, you know, it was in New York, and eventually it was in Paris and London and Milan, and, you know, that was kind of like where my career was going. And it was weird because sometimes I would get called to assist with a hairstylist. She used to bring in a makeup artist as an assistant because a lot of times in film and in video, they hire one person who does both.
Right,
and so
right.
She had a little trick up her sleeve, which was, I don't do makeup that well. I do excellent hair, so I'm going to bring you in as, like, my assistant, but really you're going to do the makeup, and I'll pay you out of my budget. And her name is Stacey Gray, and I still thank her so much for that because that's how I started moving into this music scene, and then the music celebrity thing kind of happened from that.
Mm-hmm. So how was it working with Charlie Green?
Charlie Green is really quirky and crazy. she's a funny, funny woman, and a lot of times, you know, she's not a stickler like some other makeup artists who, you know, just are really, I would say, anal retentive about their art, which is fine. You know, everybody's personality is different. But Charlie's very much like, you know, just try to get it as close to what I'm doing, but still be creative in your own way. If, you know, I'm using navy blue and black to make this color, and it takes you purple, navy blue and black, do whatever you have to do. And I really like that about Charlie. She kind of allowed you to have your own creative mind, you know, but still achieve the same look. So she was an artist in that way, and she just was funny. Like, she was always throwing out funny jokes or cussing or just saying crazy stuff. But, you know, she's a funny, funny lady. I love Charlie.
What about Pat McGrath?
Pat is like my mother of makeup, you know, even though she's not old enough to be my mother, but that's what she feels like when she's talking. You know, you just feel like mother's talking. Let me be quiet, you know. So she has like a cult following, and I was definitely very fortunate to be where I was. You know, when they say you're in the right place at the right time,
right,
I was working
right.
with Diddy, and I was his makeup artist, his groomer for a few years at that point, and he kind of like had this trust that he built with me. So he was doing his first female fashion show along with the Sean John line. It was like the first presentation for the female part. And he was doing it at Cipriani's, and her and Guido were basically going nuts. Guido's a celebrity hairstylist trying to figure out what it was he wanted, because they'd been like locked in a room with him for like 3 days, and he wasn't happy or satisfied with what he was seeing. And I know they were giving him everything, you know, but it was just a weird thing. I came in the room and I saw her, and he was like starting to film his show at that point. It was like the very first Making the Band, and then we were doing like the marathon thing on TV, so we had cameras around all the time, so I had to always be there grooming him. And she was in the room, and I came to her. I was like, oh, my God, you're Pat McGrath. You know, I'm, like, going crazy. And she's just like, okay, darling, that's fine. Nice to meet you. And she was really friendly, but she just had so much more on her mind. Like, I got to get this man happy with the look. And at that moment, she didn't know that I was, you know, his groomer, his makeup artist, whatever. And I just stepped away, and I was just like, oh, my gosh, I met Pat. And then her assistant came out, Yumi, and she came over. She said, you are Puffy, you know, Diddy, his makeup artist. I said, yeah. She said, Pat wants you. So, of course, I went running, and she said, darling, you know him. Help me. I've been giving him everything. She was like, I don't know what he wants. And I knew that, you know, he recently had broken up with J-Lo, and I knew that that was like kind of like immortalizing his brain of what was the pinnacle of beauty for him at that
right.
point in time.
Right.
And, you know, we all know he was really heartbroken by that. And basically, I just said, do this, do that. And I basically replicated what J-Lo did on her own self, or whenever Scott did her makeup, you know, that was kind of like what I knew he would like. And he came over, and he was like, that's hot. That's sexy. You know, because Pat was going from a fashion mind, and what he really wanted was like round the way girl makeup, you know, like winged eyeliner, gold highlights in the inner corner of the eye, a popped eyebrow, you know, like that champagne gold, you know, a lot of bronze skin, you know, very, I call it
right.
Boricua round the way girl makeup. And then when I finished, Guido was like, can you help me too? I was like, well, I'm no hairstylist, but do a high ponytail and put some baby hairs down, and I think you pretty much, I think you got the look. So that's how my relationship with her was birthed. And she came to me afterwards, after he gave the okay on the look, Diddy, and she said, anything you want, I will help you. And I said, I want to be on your team. And so that's how that happened.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Yeah, it's a cool story, definitely. And I cherish that, because that was, like, really, you know, Diddy was, like, you know, the male, it wasn't makeup, you know, no offense to grooming, but we all know, like, when you want to be a makeup artist, you really want to do the color and the contouring
yeah.
and really use products and stuff. And I did a great job at it, but I was starting to really feel like, this is what it's going to be, you know. So that was, like, the birth of fresh air that I needed to then make me feel belief in myself that I can now do women and I can do the things that I knew I was trained to do.
Right, right.
Right. Well, since tonight's topic is on the red carpet and preparing for makeup for red carpet looks, I wanted to ask you, one, how do you prepare for the red carpet? You know, what are the steps in creating your red carpet looks? And we're also joined by a caller, so I would like to also get the caller involved in on that question as well after you answer, Shanta.
Okay. It's pretty simple for me. You know, I a lot of times my first inspiration comes from the stylist, you know,
mm-hmm.
that I'm working with. And, you know, the dress is everything. You know, the dress is the foundation for the makeup and jewelry and hair. Those are like the accents and the accessory. It's everything too, definitely at the end. It's the whole total picture, but that's kind of like how I see it. So I look at a dress, I look at the color, I look at the cut, the texture, the material, and that's kind of like it all kind of comes to me. And then sometimes I'm looking through magazines and it'll be an ad that, oh, that's the eye that I was thinking about. That's what I wanted. So then I'll build like a little dream board, you know, for an award show. Nothing too crazy. I may rip out 3 or 4 magazines. I may sketch some things. And it takes, you know, like a few days and finally, aha, I have it. You know, this is what I'm going to do on Alicia or on Sierra or if I'm with Rihanna or whoever I just happen to be with for that particular award show.
Okay. And hi, caller. How are you? Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hi, who's this? Hello?
I don't hear them.
Okay, yeah, I guess they're gone.
Maybe my answer was not the right one.
Maybe not. And we could just take a step back for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Something you probably didn't talk about was how did you get started working with Alicia? Now, is she like one of your biggest clients that you
work with? Yeah, Alicia is definitely one of my biggest clients, and she's probably like the client that I'm with the most. A lot of people, you know, refer her to the kidnapper because, you know, I did everything with Alicia, you know, from album packaging to music videos, award shows, movies. You know, there's only one film I didn't work on her with, and that's because I was literally having a baby. But, you know, everything, tours, world tours. So, you know, after 6 world tours in June, I retired from touring. And, you know, I actually trained her to do her own makeup because, you know, I was like, hey, you know, she does her own makeup really well. And, you know, like there's nights when we go out to dinner or something and we're on the road. I'm like, oh, you do a good job, you know. So I was like, if I teach you a few things here and there, you'll be really self-sufficient. And I wanted to do that for her so that she could feel that self-empowerment to be able to do her own makeup. I think sometimes certain people, not all of us, you know, are not giving in that way. We'd rather make the money, you know what I mean? But I believe
right.
that if you give that gift to someone else,
right.
you know, you'll be blessed in so many other ways. And it has really opened up a lot of blessings for me that I was able to work with people like Queen Latifah after I came
right.
off the road and, you know, just other clients that I never thought I would have an opportunity to work with.
Right.
So, oh, I just heard something in my ear and my phone. That's weird. But anyway, so that's basically my story with Alicia. And the way we met was she was actually with a wonderful makeup artist for a long time named Ayako. And a few other great makeup artists have touched her face definitely along the way. But she just kind of was like, you know, my look is all over the place. And, you know, I don't have, like, this consistent look. And I, you know, also want to soften my look. And so she started actively looking for a new makeup artist. And I was actively looking for a client that was female. So it was like the perfect marriage. And my agent was really pursuing her for a while. And the weird thing is that her stylist and her went to high school together. And his name is Worry Vice. And him and I are very, very good friends for a long time. So he was kind of plugging my name, like, all the time, you know, like, you should use Ashunta, and it wasn't happening. And then one time they called me, and I was with Diddy doing something, and I wasn't available, so I was kind of, like, bummed, like, ah. But then the opportunity came back around, and they gave me a trial, and it was for a PSA, and then I did her makeup, and she went in the bathroom, and she was in the bathroom for, like, 10 minutes, no lie. Just, and, you know, I'm, like, sweating bullets, like, oh, my gosh, does she like this? And she came out, and in her very cool tone was like, I really like this. you did really good, you know. It's exactly like how I like my makeup done. That's how she talks. She has the coolest voice. So, you know, then it was on and popping from that point on. Literally 2 weeks later, my agent called and was like, they want you to go on tour with her, and the rest is history.
Wow. And what year was that?
That would be, we're in 2009. That was 2003.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time. And in the midst of that, I was working with newbies coming out. Like, Sierra was my client. She was like 16, 17. And she was literally, I worked with her the day she was signed. She had to do a showcase for L.A. Reid and for a bunch of other you know, members at Universal, executives and stuff. And so I did her, and then I started kind of working with both of them regularly. So those were my, like, first two big female clients that started pushing me over. And then Rihanna, I started working with her. She was also 17, fresh from the Caribbean, you know, and I shared her for a while with Myla. Like, I would do her when she was here in New York, and Myla would get her, and then, you know, then eventually I wasn't available. Myla was always available. Myla's great, and so she ended up with Myla. So, you know, it's really cool when I see all these young ladies, you know, that I know I was with them from the beginning, you know, and they all, like, kind of looked up to Alicia Keys, you know, so it was like, wow, you work with Alicia, what is she like? That's what a lot of my conversations were like with other people, like, well, what is she like? So, but she's a very down-to-earth woman, and, you know, I've watched her grow, and it's been 6 years, and, you know, she's, you know, in her late 20s, going on 30, and she's amazing. So I'm very blessed to have her as a regular client.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. So how do your red carpet makeup looks change from the different award shows, like from the Grammys to a movie premiere to a special event, let's say New York Fashion Week?
Yes, it's interesting that you say that, because I go through a lot of, I guess you would say, direction from sometimes the publicist, especially on the film side. As you guys know, because that's your arena, it's so much more interaction from the people that work in, you know, work with the artist or the actor, you know, on the film side, and that's new for me. You know, in music, it's kind of like, just make her look cute, you know, and no one really kind of bothers you. They just kind of take it like, oh, she's experienced, she knows what she's doing. But I find that in film, even with a client that you've worked with for 10 years, you know, people are down your throat about this, like, she has to look this way, she has to look that way. And, of course, you know, someone like an Alicia, she takes it all with a grain of salt. It's funny to her. Like, it's comical. Like, we'll be sweating bullets and stressing, and she's very much like, girl, just do what you do. You know, like, right. I'm not paying no attention to that. So that gives me confidence to create that Hollywood look and just keep her clean. And then when we know we're doing, like, something like the Grammys, you know, it's like almost like the Oscars of music awards, so it's also clean. But then if we're doing, like, MTV awards or BET awards, we're allowed to play. We can have a little bit more fun. We may use color, you know, in the eyes, or a bolder lip, you know, and stay and not just do, you know, everything soft and perfect. So that's kind of like what I've been doing in terms of the award shows, just using the actual premise of the award show as my dynamic for what I'm doing in makeup. And then for, like, day-to-day things, like this week she had Fashion Week shows she was attending, that we just try to make it Alicia. You know, like, Alicia's daytime look is very much a low-key person. I don't want to be overly done. So we just basically clean her up and make her look pretty, you know, just elevate her already natural beauty to, okay, the Alicia Keys status. I call it, there's a word I always say, like, once she's done, I'm like, okay, your mask is on and you're ready to go. And she always starts laughing. And then we call her, like, the show pony. So we have a lot of fun. Like, we laugh about it a lot, because even for her, it's still a very surreal experience to come from behind closed doors, you know, acting a fool with us. And then all of a sudden, you know, everyone's screaming your name out on a red carpet, you know. So it's all funny to us. Like, and that's what I, again, love about that personality that she has, because it's not that serious for her. And that's what I am learning now that I'm crossing more into dealing with actors and actresses like you guys. I see it's a little bit different sometimes for them, that they do have, their publicists may have a little bit more control and more say over them personally. And that's just a different dynamic.
Right.
You know, that now that you mentioned that, you know, sometimes when we get singers on movies, you know, and you're doing their makeup, sometimes you can really tell that they come from a different world, because, you know, they're so used to seeing themselves a certain way.
Yeah.
Where, and of course that's with all of us, but with people who are already actresses, you know, they know and understand that, you know, the director has a lot
of control.
And control, exactly, with their particular look. They know it's just for the character, you know, whereas some you know, music artists, especially when it's their first time, when they just really don't know, they're very, sometimes it's a little hard for the makeup artist sometimes because we have to really talk to them and let them know this is just the character. You know, I know that you like to wear this heavy liner or you know what I mean? Like, I went through that.
I know exactly what you're talking about on Smoke and Aces for Alicia's film. You know, we were laughing because she's someone who really liked a lot of liner. She's exactly what you're talking about. And so, Joe Carnahan, our director, was like, there was a scene where she's in a diner with Taraji, and I forgot the other actress's name, but they're talking, and it was just supposed to be like, you know, regular every day. She should be super clean. And, you know, I was talking to her, and she's like, just a little bit more. I'm like, no, you have to be clean. You have to adhere to what the director is saying. So she was like, fine. And she ended up, that was actually what birthed As I Am. That moment made her go, I actually like it. I want to start going less. So that is something that's really interesting, too. I was talking to a makeup artist today. We were saying the same thing. She's from the fashion world, and she's used to models. And models sit, and they do exactly whatever it is they need to have done. There's no, you know, I need this, I want this, or can you make this happen? They're the walking canvas, and they get that. And I think actors and actresses know that as well, that they are a walking canvas, living out a dream of a director and a screenwriter and, you know, producers and what have you, whereas a singer is coming from the perspective that they are a brand on their own.
Yes, they're living
out
their own dream. You know?
Yes, and so it's kind of hard for them to sometimes assimilate into that world, and I apologize for them that you guys have to go through that, because I know that it's tough, because I've dealt with that myself personally with them when I'm dealing with them in an arena outside of the music. It's like, girl, just trust me, you're still going to look beautiful. So they get used to being extremely heavily made up and heavily contoured and heavy, heavy everything, and it's hard for them to peel back some of those layers sometimes.
But you know what? Honestly, I think it's no different for the everyday woman, because if the everyday woman's used to doing her own makeup, but she walks into a cosmetics counter and someone does her makeup, she's going to do the same thing. No,
yes.
I don't like it like that. I don't wear that color. And I think it's all about comfort zone.
Yeah, it's about comfort. I remember being at Henry Bendel and just taking tons of women outside. Like, I had to take them outside the store with a mirror.
Right.
You know, to make them see themselves in natural daylight. You know, I would sometimes do that before I even started the makeover. Like, let's look at what you look like now.
Right, exactly.
Let's do what I'm going to do, and then we're going to go out and see the difference, and you judge. And sometimes even still, it didn't mesh well with them because it's comfort. Like you said, some people, not that they hide behind a lot of eyeshadow or a lot of blush, but it's just something they've gotten used to seeing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's something that they recognize their face that way. And when you take that thing off, it's like, oh, who is that? And it's, even I'm like that. I would kill somebody if I took off my mascara. I know people think it's, you know, clumpy sometimes, but I like it like that, you know?
Yeah. Now, you made a good point earlier when you said that, can you all hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when you said that, like, you do, like, a little less makeup, like, on certain award shows, and then when you go to, like, BET Awards or something like that, or the Image Awards, you can start using a little more color.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find it that, well, this is what I see. I think that women of color can wear more color and really often should wear more color than they do.
Mm-hmm.
But I do find that a lot of actresses, you know, a lot of women of color, actresses are on the award shows, whether it be BET Awards, whether it be the Image Awards or the Oscars, and they're not really wearing that much color at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at them like, come on now.
I 100% agree with you.
You need a little bit more.
You do. I 100% agree with you. A lot of times, you know, we allow certain standards from other, you know,
mm-hmm.
groups of women, and no offense to these groups of women, you know, that's something that sometimes they believe works for them, because even sometimes some Caucasian women look better with more color than less, but they think a lot of times that less is more thing,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of has now transitioned into all women feeling that way,
mm-hmm.
and that's not how we were. We always loved color. If you look at, you know, Diana Ross, if you looked at Patti LaBelle, if you look at Grace Jones, you know, anybody, you know, was putting lots of color on their face for a long time, and even up till recently, you know, I was looking at some pictures of Beyonce and just looking at how she has completely removed herself from putting color on.
She has.
You know? And I actually was saying, I was me and a girlfriend of mine named Renee Garnes. I don't know if you guys know her. She's a fantastic makeup artist and worked with Pat for years on her team. She's absolutely amazing. We were talking about that, and I said, you know, I really liked when she wore color. You know, I really liked when she may have had a lilac eye or navy blue or a little bit of green. And then, you know, her soft lip or a bold lip, whatever, I really enjoy seeing that sometimes from her. Now with this blank canvas of hers, I don't know if I feel that as much, you know?
Yeah, I saw photos of the red carpet from the Image Awards, and Alfre Woodard and Cicely Tyson had on more makeup than the younger actresses.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is a shame, because we're allowing white actresses to set the tone for us.
To dictate to us what we should look like,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
I agree with you 100%. A funny story, and this goes into that topic completely. When I was first with Alicia, we would be on tour, and like, you know, sometimes you're on tour, you have to hit award shows and do different things in the midst of tour season, and we had to do the Cannes Film Festival. So we went, and she was wearing like a Dolce & Gabbana bright lemon yellow coat, and it had like this bright like ocean teal two-piece like pencil skirt, silky top. I mean, it was really slick. And then her shoes were like white and lemon and teal, like all these colors. Like, she looked amazing. So I did, you know, a teal eye, and then I mixed it with like navy blue, and then, you know, it just looked to me like gorgeous, even though, you know, it was like this whole matching thing, but I really liked it. And then I did her lip, you know, like really soft or whatever, and I gave her like apricot cheeks. And we got hit with this write-up in Europe, one of the weeklies. It was actually okay before it came to the U.S., and it was like, Alicia Keys, makeup artist, is playing in the Crayola box, you know, like too much. Like, she needs to stop dipping in the Crayola box. So we run into her PR people in London, and they're like, you know, you should tone it down some, and, you know, that's kind of crazy, you know, like using all these colors and matching. And I was like, who, since when? Makeup is supposed to be fun, you know.
Exactly.
Makeup is supposed to be a form of expression. No one told me that there's a rule book that if I have on a green shirt, mint green, that I can't do an emerald green eye, or I can't put on a navy blue eye with that green shirt. Like, why can't I do those types of things? And I said, second of all, she liked it.
Right. That's the important thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we are allowing Hollywood, you know, and then particularly white Hollywood, to dictate to us, you know, this image. And it's crossing all the way through, I mean, totally through, even with hair,
mm-hmm.
you know, how hair should look, how makeup should look, and even in dress style, you know, like there was a time when you would see black actresses hit the red carpet for the Oscars, and they would be in these vibrant color dresses. Now everyone's kind of like metallic gold, you know, cream, you know, so it's like blah, you know.
I mean, and just speaking of the hair, I mean, I think our hair, the hair is falling apart. Like, you look at some of these women, and the hair is not slick. It's not kept together like
yeah.
we normally do our hair. It's now it's like, you know, you throw a few pins in it and you have a nice updo.
And that's not hot. We all know that we need some gel. We all know that black women need a brush with some bristles and a gel, and we need, you know, pomade to slick those edges back. We need a little baby hair exposed. Like, we have this is so ironic. This is the whole conversation today, like, that we have to move away from assimilating so hard. You know, like, what intrigued white America or the white Hollywood world with black women and black culture is that who we are. Like, we're letting ourselves go in that way,
yep,
you know?
Exactly.
And I think we should definitely stop that, you know, and move back to, you know, there's a time and a place. Clean is really pretty. I'm not mm-hmm. discounting it.
Mm-hmm.
But every day doesn't have to look like that. Every day I don't have to have, you know, oh, my hairstylist put a nickel size amount of hair product and just rubbed it through my hair and I think it looks hot. That's not hot. We need gloss and shine and things of that nature. Just sometimes we're not looking as polished
mm-hmm.
as we
mm-hmm.
should.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's one of the things that I, again, you know, commend to Rihanna. You know, like, she's wearing lots of color. Myla
exactly.
puts lots of color on her. You know, Ursula beats her hair down to the ground, you know, and
yep.
Tippi as well, because she has both of them. So it's just really, you know, it's refreshing to see that, okay, she's still wearing color. Ashanti, another one, love it. She's still
yes.
wearing color. still slicking her hair when it's updos, you know,
yep.
like it's not just pen. But some people really are, you know, not to talk bad about anybody, but Joy Bryan, I was like, girl, please.
Exactly.
Put makeup on your face.
Yeah, I saw her photos from her at Fashion Week. And
she was sitting
God.
Right next to Alicia at a show, and I was like, she needs some makeup on her face. I understand the whole minimalist, like, natural thing. It doesn't have to be a lot. It can be just a little blush and a little mascara, and it will go a long way on us as a black woman, you know? So
mm-hmm.
I just really, I don't want, you know, you can have, I call it, people always think I'm this way because I have locks,
mm-hmm.
and people always have this misconception that I'm Miss Wheat Germ Granola Girl, and I'm like, girl, I want a Gucci bag and a pair of YSL shoes like anybody else. You know, like, I'm not all name brand, but, you know, like, I love Target. I'm a woman. I like all things, you know.
Right.
I'm not one thing just because I have locks on my head. And I feel like a lot of actresses in particular are embodying this whole, like, echo, like, natural thing going on in white America. And, you know, it's just not that you shouldn't embrace that, but there's a time and a place where you really need to have your face beat.
Right. And
absolutely.
Speaking of that, let me ask you this. When is, like, the shimmer and the dewy skin, like, when is that too much for a woman of color? Like, when does that start to look like oil and shine and grease? Like, when is enough?
I feel like sometimes daytime we can get a little bit extravagant and do, like, this super bronze thing. And I feel like there's a fine line of highlight and just overkill, you know, disco cheeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be that fine line because it is a shimmery product and it has that, you know, whatever it is that's making it shimmery, whether it's a mica or glitter or whatever, it's going to affect our skin and be really light reflective, much more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to, I think, use that kind of product during daytime, especially in a more sparingly amount. And then, like, in the evening, if, okay, you have a little bit of disco cheek, I'm a little bit more forgiving with it because I'm all for Studio 54 makeup. I mean, I'm, you know, I love a lot of makeup, period.
Right.
But, you know, it's just a fine line. And we have to also know that bronzers, when we're using those loose pigmented bronzers that are really strong, you know, try to find a real bronze, like a true bronze color, not something champagne, you know,
correct.
Because it doesn't always work for us the same way. You know, I use my champagne colors on my Latina girls or on a olive skin, you know, Caucasian woman who's Italian or whatever, but I don't want to use that type of color tone, you know, on a black woman. It's better, like, in the inner corner of the eye or on the brow bone than it is on that cheekbone area.
Right.
Now, we've had the SAG Awards, we've had the Grammys, the Golden Globes, the Image Awards, and now this Sunday coming up, is the Oscars. Has there been one particular person on the red carpet for some of the shows that you've attended or seen? Has there been one particular person where you said, "Oh wow, her makeup looks really beautiful"?
Yeah,
and I'm speaking of a woman of color.
I had a moment of that definitely before. I remember being at the Grammys, and I believe Halle Berry was. It was the BET Awards, and it was a few years ago, maybe like 4 years ago, and she was kind of like growing her hair out a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and she's already a gorgeous woman, but, I mean, she had, like we said, she had like burgundy eyeliner on. She wasn't, you know, colorless. She had a little bit of like a wine kind of lip going on. Her cheeks were nice and flushed and pretty, and she just looked so stunning, and I was like, wow, she's really, really beautiful, and her makeup looks absolutely gorgeous, like, she really holds makeup very well on her face. So I was staring at her. She probably thought I was some weirdo. I was like, wow, she looks really good. Recently, to be honest with you, on the red carpet at the Grammys, I didn't get to see a lot of people pass me by, but I did see Keisha Cole, and she looked really
yeah.
beautiful. Her makeup was really, really nice.
Yeah, she was one person that stood out to me until I went below the face.
Yeah, I didn't love the dress that much. Definitely, it wasn't my first pick for a dress, but definitely the makeup was like, wow, really beautiful. Her face
looked
stunning.
Yeah, the makeup was gorgeous. The only thing is the tattoos. I couldn't get past the tattoos in the dress.
Oh, I like tattoos, but you know,
I like tattoos, but I just thought with the dress.
Yeah, the dress. You know, sometimes I think we forget, like when we, because I have like 7 or 8 tattoos. I forget sometimes, but sometimes when you have tattoos, you have to be really cognizant of the type of dresses that you're picking. And you don't want to have those kind of dresses where every tattoo is exposed all at once, you know.
And
so
I think that was the thing for me. All of them were exposed.
Yeah, all of them were exposed. It was like a little bit much, you know. It didn't have a red carpet feel from the neck below, you know. But definitely the makeup was stunning. Somebody else walked by me, and Solange, her makeup was in that neutral family, but very pretty, and with her black curls, her, you know, whole face was just really glowing, so I really liked her makeup. Jasmine Sullivan, I did her makeup. I felt really positive about it. Mm-hmm. I wish she had gotten more press photo ops, but we had, like, such a nightmare getting there. It was one of those things where I think she may have done, like, 5 interviews, so, like, she was, like, racing through to get to her seat. But she did look pretty stunning, and she has gorgeous skin. So, and a lot of people were just complimenting her, so that made me feel, like, good, because we were straight rushing that makeup. I didn't even know how it was going to turn out.
Did you see Fantasia?
I saw Fantasia, and Fantasia looks really good, too.
The only thing that I did not like, and this, I don't know what it looks like up close, but she had some concealer under her eye.
That was a little too light for you.
Too light.
I saw that, too. I think I was more caught up with her overall.
Overall, I like her.
Yeah, but that was true. I was up close, and it was a little bit light under the eye. But her hair was really slick. I liked the dark hair and the new cut, and her weight loss was nice. You know, it wasn't like she was bone thin. She still was voluptuous and had meat on her bones. So
exactly.
Her dress was cute. Her tattoos were not all exposed at once.
No, they weren't. Nope.
You know, so she looked really good. I didn't love Jennifer's hair. That was, like, one of the things I didn't really love, Jennifer Hudson.
Grammys, yeah, I didn't like that either.
I loved it at the NAACP Awards, though.
Oh, it was beautiful.
The whole picture, everything looked gorgeous, like her hair, her makeup, the dress, everything. But that kind of sometimes, too, can mess up the way your face looks when your hair is not, you know, not on point to me. So I didn't really like the pulled back hair at all. I like her hair kind of shaggy and jagged, and then her face is sexy on her.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question. We're winding down, but you spoke earlier about being with Alicia since 2003. And I often wonder, because you know how, like you said, Alicia was looking for, she was actually looking for a new makeup artist. And one of the questions that I had was, how do you, you know, like, each of us have our own signature style, something that we always do to every face, you know, that says, this is Janice, this is Ashanta, this is Janice. How do you do you, but keep the looks fresh and new? Because you've been with her for a long time now. So that's a long time creating looks, whether it be for the album cover, whether it be for the whether, you know, if it was for the tour, whether it's for the red carpet. It's like, how do you do Ashanta, but yet keep it creative and keep it fresh and keep it new?
I think with Alicia, you know, working with her so long, she's always evolving, and you know, she's like a real musician and a real artist in that way, and that becomes sort of like the palette, like the feel of whatever she's doing musically for the look itself. And since I've been with her through the last 2.5 albums, you know, it's basically, I let that dictate the mood of the makeup. You know, when she did Diary of Alicia Keys, the word diary makes you think of secrets. It makes you think of something in the dark. So we did lots of smoky eyes. We went through every kind of smoky eye you can think of in jewel tone colors, in bold colors, you know, in bright colors with glitter, anything, you know. So we lived in that, and we did a lot of big lashes, and we did a lot of pinkish and corally lip colors. And as I am kind of dictated more of a revealing of your true self. And so that's why we went kind of like parred down and broke the makeup down a little bit more, so it was less about smoky eyes. We do a smoky eye now, but it's not quite as intense. Before I was, you know, doing lots of layers of products, whether it be cream shadow or primer, cream shadow, then a liner, you know, with all that intensity. And she was much more like rock and roll, you know, in her spirit of things. So, and now she's kind of like laid back, grown woman, chic thing. So I allow that to be what dictates to me the look overall for that artist. And then how do I come up with fresh ideas time to time, you know, when we're doing something, whether it's an album packaging or a video? I feel like for tours especially, she has to have something that the a member of that audience who's at the nosebleed seat can really see, you know, when they're looking at the big projector screen. So I use a lot of glitter on tour, you know, lots of glitter, whether it's in the inner corner of the eye or the whole lid is filled with glitter, you know, and then like smoked out on the edges with lots of liner, because she's so emotional when she's singing. That's very important that that someone who's coming, a fan, can capture that when they're looking at her. And then, you know, then we have Alicia Keys, you know, who's becoming a movie star. Then she has that look, which, like you, we all know, is the clean look, you know, the Hollywood girl look. And I kind of test the boundaries a little bit, because sometimes they feel, oh, it should be clean, and then I'll put like a pop of turquoise eyeliner underneath, you know, just so I feel good because I love color, you know. So
right.
That's kind of like the thing. You just, I allow whatever it is we are doing to kind of dictate what the
right.
look is going to be.
Gotcha. Well, thank you so much, Ashanta.
And,
for
and you ladies, when
with
you're
that.
Doing films and stuff, that's inspirational too. Like, you know, you can work, see a film and it just changed your whole life, like in terms of makeup. Like, I saw Memoirs of a Geisha and I just lost my mind, you know, like movies like that really inspire me a lot. You know, I'll literally dream about things. So, you know, just keep doing movies, guys, literally, because it really, it inspires more makeup artists than most people think.
Oh, wow. Well, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our next show is scheduled for March 5th at 9 p.m., where we'll be discussing skincare for women of color with Dr. Angelo P. Thrower, author of Black Skincare for the Practicing Professional. It promises to be a very informative show, so please join us for that discussion by calling in at 914-803-4399 or email us your questions and comments to info@illusionsbeauty.com. We want to thank you again, Ashanta, for joining us. We want to thank our listeners. And as we fade out, we have a question that we always ask everyone on this show, and that is, what is beauty to you?
What is beauty to me? That is a deep question. I really like that. What beauty is to me is about how you feel when you wake up in the morning, when you look at your skin and how you look at your own natural glow, and just taking your own wonderful God-given features and just really enhancing them, not masking them, but really highlighting and enhancing. That's what beauty is to me in terms of makeup. And I believe that your inner beauty, most importantly, is the thing that will shine through to make that makeup look even more beautiful.
Absolutely.
Oh, God, I must be ugly then, because most mornings I'm not really feeling.
That's not true. That's not true. Somebody loves you.
Oh, God.
Somebody loves you. I'm sure there's somebody special in your life that loves you. And the fact that, you know, we have these people in our lives that love us, whether it's our children or our mates, it's a reflection. You know, that's our inner beauty. You know, that's the real thing. And then makeup is that extra little, it's like the handbag that goes on that sets the whole outfit off, you know. So that's what beauty is.
No, I can believe that one.
Mm-hmm. Y'all are funny. Thank you for having me so much, ladies.
You're welcome. Thank
right.
you.
Have a good night.
You too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The little bit.
Come on.